Welcome to episode 93 of Practical Defense, revisiting escape routes and identity theft. Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Addix. This week, our topic comes at the request of Rollsby on the Gun Rights Radio Network message board. He asked for some more clarification on planning escape routes, and we'll also quickly revisit identity theft. But before I get into that, I have a bit of housekeeping. I've reworked the engine underneath my website. For the tech heads out there, I switched from using PHP in a database to using flat SHTML pages with server-side includes. I did this for a bunch of reasons. First, it's easier for me to personally maintain. I'm not a database person, and the interface into the system was not easy for me to manage. I can now update everything personally and get new items online faster. Second, because everything was in the database, I wasn't getting good access reports and statistics. With SHTML, I can use the stats package provided by my ISP and get the granularity I'm looking for. Plus, it should help my ranking on the search engines. It may just be my experience, but PHP pages just don't seem to hit as high in the search engines as flat pages. With the exception of the podcast page, the interface has not changed. It should look exactly the same. However, if you do find any broken links, please let me know. And speaking of updates to the website, I've posted a few articles, so stop by, check them out, and let me know what you think. I'm putting my 2010 seminar schedule together. So if you live in the Los Angeles area and have a seminar request, get it to me soon. Once the schedules go live, it'll be really hard for me to change. You know, due to family, my other projects and obligations, I have time to run one seminar a month, and I need to book that time well in advance. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter. You can find links to my Facebook and my Twitter pages in the show notes and on my website. Alrighty, we'll be right back with our return to escape routes and identity theft.
The Brady Campaign is telling America that 85 people are killed with guns every day. What they are not saying is that nearly 60% of those deaths are suicides. Subtract those, justifiable self-defense shootings, and some very rare accidents, and the real number is 33 deaths each day. But the federal government tells us 80% of those deaths are gang violence, so the number the Brady should be talking about is 27 gang shootings a day, or less than 3 each for the 10 largest cities in the country. The Brady campaign needs to come clean, for once. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
I entitled this episode Revisiting because I've covered both of these subjects in past episodes. However, the shows can be a little dense on the subject matter, and some things can get missed. I've even been told that folks need to listen to the shows a few times in order to get everything. But hey, that's the beauty of podcasting. You can listen as many times as you want. I haven't discussed escape routes as a topic unto itself, although it has been a component of several other episodes. Rollsby from the GRRN forums posted, "Tonight at dinner, the wife and two kids were at a fast food place. I had both kids in high chairs with seatbelts fastened. Suddenly I thought, what if someone walked in with a gun? The only way I could move the kids would be to pick up the whole chair. Not to mention, I would only be able to lift one kid and physically move through the door. I guess I would have to wait until his attention was diverted, unlock the fastener, and then slip out, but only again with one kid. My next thought was to note where the exits were and where we were parked in relation to it. After that, I wondered what other listeners think about this. Before entering the restaurant, before sitting down, or before ordering. We all can't be like Robert De Niro and Ronan and make our escape ready every time, but I would be interested in hearing about times when you had similar thoughts and plans. Do you only frequent restaurants that you know you can exit safely? Do you simply note the location of exits, or do you physically check them, inside and out? Well, I have those thoughts and plans all the time. I always make note of the exits and the widest path for escape and potential cover. In restaurants, I always try to sit facing the entrance. In other unique places, like a movie theater, a plane, or a bus, I have special seat selections. For example, in a movie theater, I always check for the exits and sit along the edges. On a bus, I note where the emergency exits are, you know, sometimes they're even on the roof, and I sit at the back or right up in front. But, you know, that's all I really do. In the United States, the chances of you being involved in a restaurant shooting are really slim. Keeping your awareness during your meal and knowing where the exits are should really be enough to give you an edge if you need to make a hasty escape. But in all honesty, the chances of you having to use them in your lifetime are really slim. That's why I don't physically check the exits or restrict myself to places that I've already previously evaluated. So when do I do this? As I enter, as I'm being shown to my table, and while I'm waiting to be served. How much time do I spend on it? Less than 3 seconds. If I get up during the meal, I make some additional notes. Again, this is not something you really need to spend a lot of serious brain cycles on or fret over. A few quick glances and some mental notes are all you really need. Since you have 2 children to protect, it can complicate things. What I suggest you do is split the responsibility with your wife. Make a plan with her that during an emergency, any emergency, she's responsible for 1 child and you're responsible for the other. Then you sit by that child when you go out. In the event something does happen, it reduces the decision process and increases your response time. If you're out solo with the kids, decide which one you're going to carry and the other one you will drag by the chair. Now, I said chair as in high chair, not the stuff that grows on your head. Making these choices during calm moments beforehand will help you make your actions faster should a crisis occur. There's no pause for, what do I do now? Because you've already decided what to do and you can just act. When I trained with Jim Wagner in July, we were in an athletic club. We ran our drills in private rooms while other folks were out on the main floor lifting weights and running on treadmills. We were careful to put our gear on out of sight so as not to scare them. But we joked and remarked that if they did see us, they probably wouldn't react much, and even then, they probably wouldn't know what to do. Unfortunately, just a week or so after our training, George Sedini walked into an LA fitness center in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, and shot the place up, killing 4 people and wounding another 15. So yes, these incidents do happen. Are they rare? Absolutely, and you're highly unlikely to be involved in one. However, 3 seconds worth of concentration and a bit of preparedness can increase your chances of survival should you be in the wrong place at the wrong time when lightning does strike. So, I'm going to switch gears now from things that are within your control to things that are mostly out of it, and specifically, identity theft. Episode 35 is dedicated entirely to identity theft. I'm revisiting this subject because I want to re-emphasize an item, and I heard something on the news that was actually kind of helpful. In episode 35, I mentioned that I was included in the database of 26.5 million veterans that was stolen from the home of a Veterans Administration employee. Well, guess what? I am again among those whose personal information has been lost by a trusted identity. This time, it was AT&T that put my personal finances at permanent risk. I'll read from the letter I just received 2 days ago. AT&T recently learned that a former employee of a service provider to AT&T did not follow the strict security guidelines we impose on our service providers for handling sensitive personal information. Specifically, we have determined that the vendor's employee improperly removed paper documents from the vendor's premises that contained sensitive personal information of current and prospective AT&T customers, including one or more of the following pieces of information: name, address, driver's license number, social security number, and/or credit card number. Although AT&T presently has no evidence this information has been or is likely to be misused, this letter is to advise you that your information was included in these documents so that you can make appropriate precautionary measures. AT&T has taken this matter very seriously and has partnered with a company called Blah to provide you credit monitoring and, if necessary, identity theft restoration services. The service includes 1 free year of protection, and so on and so forth. Oh, the profanities I want to scream right now. In this case, it was not AT&T specifically that lost my information, but a company they contracted with. So AT&T shared my information with this third party, and the third party screwed up. Do I really care that it was a third party? No. I gave it to AT&T in good confidence, not these other jokers. And once again, one jackass put the financial integrity of who knows how many people at permanent risk. I say permanent because I really mean permanent. Social security numbers don't expire, at least not while you're alive. It isn't like you can cancel it and get a new one issued, just like a bad credit card number. You are permanently tied to that number until you die. Once it's on the streets, it will be traded like baseball cards in the hacker underground. This is one example of why I'm so against linking all of the healthcare system databases. There's a movement to create this humongous database for the entire healthcare system in the United States. It would be this glorious repository of your health information that any hospital and any insurance agency can access at any time to serve you. If you're skiing in Colorado and you get knocked unconscious, the doctors can access your entire health record in your private physician's office in Florida for speedy and accurate treatment. If one database administrator can copy the records of 26.5 million veterans, if one AT&T subcontractor can walk out with stacks of printed customer records, if Citibank can have its data backups fall off the back of an armored truck en route to being locked in a vault, what confidence do you think I have in a national healthcare database that any nurse at any rinkadink clinic anywhere in the country can access? It would be a hacker's wet dream. So what can you do to protect yourself? Now, first, do not give out information that you don't have to. Don't fill out any optional information. Many online retailers, like Amazon, who I actually really like, have an option to save my credit card information for future use. Don't use it. Re-enter it every single time you make a purchase. Don't trust their security to keep your financial information safe. You don't know if they've been hacked. Heck, they probably don't know if they've been hacked. You also don't know what a quote-unquote trusted employee or subcontractor will do with that information. Do not put your personal information into social networking sites. MySpace and Facebook are sieves of personal information. Heck, Facebook publishes your birth date by default. You have to select to keep that information private. Plus, every app you install gets access to all of your personal information and everyone you have listed as a friend. Sure, you might trust Facebook, and I don't, by the way, but by installing an app, you just let that subcontractor have access to all of your personal Facebook information. I don't install apps, I don't take those quizzes, and I don't play those games on Facebook. Oh, so to install the tic-tac-toe application, I need to grant complete and unrestricted access to my personal information and all of my contacts? I don't need to play tic-tac-toe that badly. No thank you. If you have children, you need to educate them on keeping their personal information private. Social networking sites can be a lot of fun, but if you're not careful, they can also be a serious risk. Back in the ancient days when I was a child, we didn't get social security numbers until you needed a passport or you started earning money. These days, the hospitals give you the social security number paperwork along with the birth certificate form. With my youngest, we had a social security number card before his county certified birth certificate. That's just wrong. What it also does is open a new avenue of identity theft. Crooks are now stealing kids' identities and ruining their credit records before they can even walk. It takes years for the crime to surface because who checks the credit report of a 3-year-old? Well, these days, you should. Your child should not even have a credit report. If he or she does, something is seriously wrong and you need to investigate it. Now, if you will, please excuse me while I sign up for yet another credit monitoring and restoration service. Perhaps you'll join me.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro-Second Amendment, pro-gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
So in summary, we have, It is always a good idea to note the exits in any building that you enter. Note the pathways to the exits. Keep your awareness while eating and enjoying yourself. The two aren't mutually exclusive. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to stress over it, and you don't want to forget to enjoy your time out. That's why you went out, right? When it comes to your personal information and identity, you want to give out as little information as possible. Never completely trust vendors. I've been betrayed many times. Use and enjoy social networking sites, but always remember that whatever you post will be part of the public record forever. Once it's on the net, it's always on the net. Teach your children about identity theft and the risks of social networking sites. Check your children's credit ratings as often as you check your own. You do check it, right? As always, don't forget to check out my monthly column on TaekwondoTimes.com. It's called Raising Awareness. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe. Practical Offense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexaddix.com. That's podcast@alexaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexaddix.com.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.